On this day, July 18th, 1940, a voice from Chicago's sewers at the Democratic National Convention propels FDR to his unprecedented third term. We'll tell you that story. Let's get started. FDR came into office in 1932 amidst a Great Depression. His first 100 days in office saw the implementation of his New Deal. FDR was reelected in 1936. Now, the economy was still struggling in 1939 despite his New Deal policies, and the midterms of 1938 were a disaster for the Democrats, and the new Congress wasn't interested in FDR's reforms any longer. They were kind of tired of it. So the question was, should FDR run for a third term? Well, there are many things to consider. A storm was brewing in Europe. Hitler was exercising full power in Germany. He was persecuting Jews, supporting a fascist uprising in Spain. And in 1936, he reclaimed the Rhineland from France, and he annexed Austria in 1938. Well, Hitler wasn't the only problem over there. Mussolini had attacked Ethiopia, and Japan was on the warpath in China. Well, Americans at this time believed foreign affairs were none of their business. Plus, they had no stomach for war, having recently lost over 100,000 men in the Great War, World War I. But FDR realized that we lived in a new world where isolationism wasn't an option. Now, the founding fathers of our country counseled that Americans shouldn't become involved in entangling alliances with foreign nations. However, it can be argued that when they wrote that, the only way America could be attacked was by a rowboat over a vast ocean. Well, that was no longer the case. The world became a much smaller place because of modern warships and planes. Now, another argument is the good neighbor argument. If your neighbor is in trouble, do you help him? Well, of course you do. I do. I know you probably do. My neighbors help me. Well, now apply that on a national level. America's neighbors were in trouble, and they needed our help. FDR believed, as his hero Teddy Roosevelt did, that the U.S. needs to be involved on the international stage. Well, FDR spoke out against fascism, and the anti-war lawmakers accused him of warmongering. And the people didn't seem to care because, well, those problems were on the other side of the ocean. They were far removed, out of sight, out of mind. Well, then in November of 1938, Jews throughout Germany were assaulted by Hitler's soldiers. Homes and synagogues were burnt, and many Jewish people died. And to add insult to injury, the German Jews were required to pay an atonement fine for the damages caused by the soldiers. Now, that was awful, and by the way, that atonement fine was their way of mocking the Jews. And also, Jewish persecution wasn't just limited to Germany. Well, FDR was horrified. He ordered that German and Austrian visas be extended so people wouldn't be forced to return to Nazi rule. But this move wasn't popular with Americans. A Gallup poll in 1939 said that about 85% of both Catholics and Protestants opposed offering sanctuary to European refugees. And what's even more shocking is that about 25% of American Jews were against offering asylum. Well, Eleanor Roosevelt was horrified at the indifference of the common American at the time. Here's what she said. What has happened to us in this country? If we study our own history, we find that we have always been ready to receive the unfortunate from other countries. And though this may seem a generous gesture on our part, we have profited a thousandfold by what they have brought to us. Those were the words of Eleanor Roosevelt. Well, FDR debated about running for an unprecedented third term, and presidents traditionally followed George Washington's example of stepping down after two terms. There was no term limit law in place at all. It was just simply a practice in keeping with the American tradition of limited government. You see, the world only knew about bloody monarchs who would kill to stay in power. But Americans had been showing to the world, by example, something new. Their presidents weren't monarchs. The mantle of power in America is peacefully and willingly relinquished. So, what should FDR do? The state of things at home and abroad convinced him to run. The world needed a leader in such perilous times. Then, on this day, July 18th, 1940, FDR was nominated for a third term at the Democratic Party National Convention in Chicago. Now, how the nomination came about was surrounded with some theatrics. FDR hadn't publicly declared he was interested in renomination. He threw his hat into the ring subtly. Here's how it came about. FDR dictated a message by phone to a senator, which was read at the convention. Now, the message said FDR wasn't really interested in running for a third term, and delegates should vote for any candidate they wished. It was as if FDR was saying, tongue in cheek, of course, maybe I'll run. I'm not really sure. I really don't want to run. Well, it's up to you guys. You guys do what you want, that kind of thing. Well, to help pull off this subtle approach, FDR supporters had a plan. After FDR's message was read on the floor, the people sat in shocked silence. Oh no, our hero's not going to run. And so they sat there silently. Well, that silence was broken when a booming voice was heard over the sound system chanting, "We want Roosevelt! We want Roosevelt!" Well, that voice came from Thomas Gary, the superintendent of Chicago's Department of Sanitation. Chicago Mayor Ed Kelly instructed Gary to do this, and he placed other city workers strategically around the hall to join in the chant, and soon everyone joined in. Thomas Gary's chant came to be known as the Voice from the Sewers, since he was the guy in charge of Chicago's sewers. Well, Roosevelt was overwhelmingly nominated and eventually won a third term, and as we know, he went on to win his fourth term as well. And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story.